Jenna, is there any place better than Target?
No. So let's talk about Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love now with automatic deals.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
So now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Miss podcast. I'm Jenna.
I'm Kevin. And today we are talking all things mattress. Season 1, episode 12.
Come on down to mattress land.
What a wild and crazy and memorable experience this episode was.
I really enjoyed this episode though.
Watching it or shooting it or both?
Both. Both. I enjoyed watching it more than I thought I would. There's a lot that happens and we're in a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of fun shooting this thing. There's just a lot of memories.
In real life, when this episode actually came out, which was on December 2nd, 2009, we had a very busy week.
Of course we did, because this is when it started to get cray.
Yeah, because up to this point, also when this episode aired, this was the highest, most viewed episode after the pilot. So we were growing every single week.
Exponentially, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Empire State of Mind is still number one on the charts. And the Blind Slide, the Blind Slide, the movie with Sandra Bullock, I said that right, has slid up to number one.
Yeah.
That's why I was going for slide.
It was a Sandra Bullock like comeback year, because the Proposal
Bullock
was also,
that's right,
a huge movie that year, a few months
that's
earlier,
right.
And so
what happened with us this crazy week?
Several things. So Some of us did this appearance in New York City in Bryant Park for like TJ Maxx and Marshalls. We did a karaoke contest.
Okay,
did you participate in that?
Were no, you did you?
No, I didn't do that either.
Okay, I don't remember anything about that.
No.
And unimportant.
Then,
next.
No. And then we went to our first Kiss FM Jingle Ball.
I remember that.
I do remember that. That was great.
That was fun.
I felt very cool that I could get into Jingle Ball.
Well,
spent
you
my
also
life trying
said
to go to
me,
Jingle Ball.
When we went to Jingle Ball this current 2022 year to talk about And That's What You Really Missed, you were like, have you been to Jingle Ball? And I was like, no, I don't think I've been to Jingle Ball. I've been to Jingle Ball multiple times.
Yeah, and I've been with you at multiple Jingle Balls.
Yeah, so they're, okay. That's how good my memory is right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went to the Jingle Ball. And then, Kevin, do you remember going to the Trevor Project's Cracked Christmas and at the Wheel Turn?
Yes.
With Chris and Corey, and I had just gotten off of a flu.
Oh.
And my dress fit real good.
Yep, I remember that. And this was the beginning of a long relationship with Trevor Project. And if you
That's
know what
right.
Trevor Project is, it's a resource center hotline for LGBT people, Suicide Hotline, you can text in. It's an incredible, incredible organization.
Tons of resources.
And they were support. Really small at this point. They didn't have like the text in chat room things that they have now.
That's right.
And we all went, and I remember being so impressed. I also remember because I was like, you know, closeted. That I was, I'm like, regardless if I'm scared of people, the public finding out if I'm gay or not, I have to be involved with this organization. Mm, mm. And we went every single year. Adam Shankman, yeah. directed a couple times, a lot of them.
And we went. Yeah, we presented, did all the things. This week, the Glee, the music volume 2, geez, we're just pumping them out, was released. It had 17 tracks. And
didn't volume 1 just come out?
Yeah, well, exactly. And then, Kevin, didn't you guys do a photo shoot, like a Vanity Fair photo shoot?
Yeah, which felt very fancy. It was the first time I had been in, you know, I think a big, like, fashion, important magazine like that.
Yeah, Vanity I was, Fair. Like, very jealous that you guys got to do that. And it was all the men.
Yeah, boys.
I remember going to visit you.
And we had a Singing in the Rain thing. And so we were all dressed in these hats and... So the issue with this for me was I was very excited about this. It meant a lot to me. But do you remember this is when I had my issue with strep where I kept getting recurring strep throat over and over and over again. And nobody could figure out what was wrong with me.
That's right.
And I kept having to go to the doctor and they were like pumping me full of antibiotics. And in this photo shoot, I'm standing on a light pole, like holding it, wrapping my arm around it. But I had like IV things in my elbow. And I was using that to hold on to the light post, but I was trying to be like, and they had like fake rain coming down and I could barely stand on this thing because it was so slippery and I was trying to keep it all together and I was so sick and my arm was in so much pain because it's like on a wound. And that's all I remember.
Things
from
are going
this.
Great.
Yeah. And it's in public. It's on a very busy street in front of a very busy museum.
Yeah.
And getting to do one of the coolest things in my life up to that point, and I am dying.
Oh, Kevin. Yeah. It was also really late at night and I had lived down the block from there at the time. So I said, I'm going to come visit. And they blocked that whole street off. I wasn't allowed to come see you guys.
We were too
famous.
And
I was like, I swear I'm part of this. They know me. I know them. I know them. And they were like, nope, absolutely not. So I drove by and I saw the rain going and you guys looked very fabulous from afar. And that's all I got was just a sheer glimpse into the world of the very painful Vanity Fair shoot for you.
And then it ended up being this really like small photo at Vanity Fair. I was like,
But you were in Vanity Fair.
I was. So it was fine.
That's awesome. Okay. So let's do it. Let's do it.
Hit it, Jenna.
All right, so this is Mattress, and this aired December 2nd, 2009. My gosh. And this was directed by Elodie Keen. Here she is again, which I was like, wow, Elodie directed a bunch of episodes early on. Yeah. So crazy. Mm-hmm. This was written by Ryan Murphy and the Holy Trinity, Ian Brennan and Brad Falchuk. And... we had two great little guest stars who were the Mattress store owner and the DP or the director, John Ross Bowie and Chuck Spittler. We did Smile from Lily Allen, which we'll talk about, Jump, Van Halen, and then Smile, Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah. Like I said, this was the most viewed episode. So it was 8.15 million viewers. That was a high for us.
Wow.
And at some point, originally the episode was called Once Upon a Mattress.
But we couldn't get the rights to it.
No, they had to change that.
Right.
Mattress it is.
Okay. I enjoyed this episode. There's a lot that happens.
Yes. So basically, when the Glee Club is left out of the yearbook due to budget cuts, almost everyone except Rachel is relieved they won't have to suffer the ridicule of past years because it's known amongst the school's history that the Glee Club picture always gets defaced by the cooler people, you know?
Right. And Rachel tries to elevate the social status of the Glee Club by getting them cast in a local commercial.
Which causes drama.
So much drama.
And then finally, Will discovers that his wife, Terry, has been lying to him about the pregnancy.
Babygate is peaking.
Oh, I mean, this is it. It's happening.
<peaking. laughs>
And also, I think at this time, too, remember, they're writing, this is episode 12. We have, is it one more episode before the break?
That's right.
I mean, we don't
did we know at this point that we were coming back? I don't know that we did.
I think by the time it was airing, yes. But we didn't, when they were writing it, I don't know.
Right.
And so they had to like wrap up some of these storylines or leave it hanging interested. So
right.
We needed the back nine.
Okay.
So this yearbook, the Thunderclap.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Is a very, very big deal, obviously. The show starts out with like Will in the teacher's lounge, everybody getting a double dose of the bad news, which is Emma and Ken's wedding is the same day as sectionals because they're not getting married in Hawaii anymore. And it's the 50th edition of the McKinley High School Thunderclap. And Sue walks in with a black eye and says she convinced Figgins not to let the Glee Club have a picture in the yearbook because it always gets, you know, like I said, defaced. It always gets drawn on and it would just relieve some of the pressure and the ridicule and the embarrassment for the Glee Club.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Emma has some really good one-liners in this episode.
Yeah, this is her 1-2-3 punch. That's not the saying, but
she says the wedding was going to be in Hawaii, but then they told me I couldn't bring my own fruit. How cute. But then she goes on to talk about Ken and how he has a lot of flaws. Ken has a lot of flaws. He has 74 flaws as of yesterday. And then I think the best one of all. Oh my gosh, Sue, did someone finally punch you? Sue looks like she has a black eye, but she actually got some work done and her tear ducts removed, which she was in like rare form in this scene. It was really,
wasn't using them.
Really, really funny.
Mark that for my favorite line of the episode, most likely.
Okay. So then we go to the choir room where, do you remember shooting this scene?
Yes, of course.
Well, Kurt's telling everybody that not getting a photo in the Thunderclap is actually a blessing in disguise because... he says a yearbook photo would only fuel the flames of anti-Glee Club terror and it gets defaced and we would be all look real crazy. When we were shooting this scene, Chris had a mouthful.
When it started, I said out loud, I'm like, oh, Chris couldn't get this. And then you watch it And it was, he had every random word thrown at him in this scene and nailed
it. Well, and the hardest thing is like those one, like when you have one line, it's actually harder than having a stream of consciousness and a thought and having 20 lines.
Right.
Because
there's nowhere to go.
It's out of nowhere. You have to remember it out of nowhere and create context for yourself. And for Chris, it was like this, like one of those famous pair, you know, monologues where nothing really, there's no real stream of consciousness. So poor Chris, but he nailed it.
I remember, I mean, we all had to like interject sometimes, and it was all this pressure where Chris has this really difficult monologue to say, and then we have to interject, and like, who are we going to be the ones that mess this entire scene up for him?
Right.
After he's like trying, like holding on to keep
this
thing together.
We've all been there. I have my memory of that.
Yeah.
So Mr. Shu is not privy to the fact that we're all like, great, we're not going to be in the yearbook. But he insists that we have to be in the yearbook. And he decides to go to Figgins. And Figgins says that the only way to get everybody into the yearbook in the Glee Club is for $1,000, which is wildly expensive for a yearbook photo, by the way.
I was very anti-yearbook, anti-school things, so I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah,
I would have fought for the yearbook. So Will is like, okay, what about a quarter page? And Figgins is like, okay, it's like $325 or whatever, where two members can be in it. So Figgins now recommends that they pick Finn and Santana. He says, now I suggest you select a good-looking cheerleader, not the pregnant one, and the quarterback for the photo, as their faces are less likely to be scratched out with safety pins.
Mm-hmm. And then at that moment, guess who barges in? Because she's got some words and she hasn't been seen yet.
Oh my God, so funny. Rachel barges in and she insists that Glee Club's in the yearbook, and Mr. Shu's like, got it, Rachel. And she's like, thank you so much. And leaves in her very Rachel way.
And then we go through this incredible bit of Rachel and her obsession to be photographed, to practice for the paparazzi, and being a part of every club possible.
Which, some of them just don't. Dave and I were watching this, and he was laughing, because like, Leah's face in these is excellent.
This is a very good episode for Rachel and Leah. She is absolutely nailing it. Because I think she's very good at physical comedy. And, and like one of those things that we do like in between takes and things of doing sort of impressions of our characters.
Yes.
And she was using all of those tools.
That's
of
right.
The big smile and all that.
That's right. We were elevated in this episode. Yeah. But her in the clubs, I was like, oh, some of these didn't age well.
No.
So click that for
it. But it is funny.
Well. What? Oh, it is very funny.
Because it's also like, we know it's inappropriate. Like, well, at that time, though, it is like, we know this is wrong.
Right.
And she's using these clubs.
Exactly. She's using it to, to her advantage in the wrongest of wrong ways. And then we cut to Quinn in the library. We're not in the library very often, so this is exciting.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to start seeing the library.
Yeah.
Once you get picked up, you get more budget, and then you can
bigger library
sets.
That's right. So we see Quinn in the library, and she's looking at the yearbook. And she decides that she doesn't, she wants to be in the Cheerios again. She needs to be relevant and feel like she's a part of something. And I gasped at this.
Yes.
Quote. I gasped. She says, I want my kids to be able to look back at these books and see who I was. Make them proud. Not the bastard one I'm carrying now, of course. The ones I'll have when I'm married and ready. Yeah, exactly. Jon Snow. I thought that was very, very funny. Okay, what happens next? Then
So then we're seeing how the Glee Club affects every single person. I mean, the yearbook affects every single person on the show. It's funny how one of these high school things becomes such a thing. It's very high school. I like
drama.
When we lean into these high school things like this.
Yep. Yep.
And then Mr. Shu goes to tell Terry that he wants to buy an ad and use it for the Glee Club. And she says no 5 times. But he obviously does not listen because he has always prioritized the Glee Club. and gives Figgins a check to pay for it. And then he tells the Glee Club that they have to pick 2 captains for the photo. And then everyone very quickly, on purpose, unanimously votes for Rachel because they don't want to be in it. Including Rachel. And I love that scene, like all the kids colluding to just like, yep, you can do it. Great. Finally giving her the attention she wants, the spotlight she wants. And then Will is a little perplexed because this is the first time he's seeing that the kids don't want to be in the photo,
mm-hmm.
and asks Emma for advice. And then Emma apologizes for missing sectionals and tells her he thinks Ken scheduled the wedding on purpose.
Oh, crap.
Yes. Drama. And then Will decides that Rachel needs a co-captain. And do you, I remember filming this because this was the first time that Rachel and Artie have a little one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's my bid for didn't age well is everybody giving, you know, excuses of why they can't be the co-captain. Mercedes says she can't, no time, Kwanzaa.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Artie says, you can't because I can't because it'll mess up the composition. Because if you lean over, it will look like you have stomach rolls.
It's very funny. This scene was very funny.
Kevin. Yeah. And then I thought Heather's was the best. And like, she says, no way, because I don't want to be in a picture with you. It'll get defaced. And Rachel says, no, it won't. And she says, Brittany says, yes, it will. I'll be doing it. I'll be the one doing it. So Rachel then goes to good old trusty sweet Finn because he is a leader.
Right.
And he says, yes. And, you know, then insert Smile by Lily Allen.
Which we were very excited about this because Lily Allen was like coming up. Her album had come out. We were all listening to it on like, you know, at our chairs in between takes. Yeah. We loved this album. And I just am so uncomfortable watching this number.
I might have fast-forwarded through it.
Me too. I definitely fast-forwarded through this
to be real, because it felt like it was just inserted for the sake of
yes,
we needed right. a song.
And I don't and feel like in that these normally early happens. Episodes, we didn't have that, right? They all kind of moved the plot. They moved, or they were really, really like fun, yeah. huge numbers with like big costumes and production value. But this one was like, why is this here?
It also and felt like
okay.
It sort of felt like Ryan was throwing us a bone because we wanted this song
yeah.
to be in the show.
And there was just a lot of storyline in this episode, and I think they were just kind of like searching for the right material for the to yeah. for the songs to fit, but there's just so much other good material in this episode. Rachel also slaps Finn's butt at the end of this.
Brad on the piano is also like really getting into this.
Oh, he's
song.
living. Yeah. I actually fast forwarded and then I ended on Brad and he was moving.
It. Yes.
Okay, and then we cut to Finn, who is in the locker room and getting drawn on and written on by Karofsky and Azimio.
I love Karofsky and Azimio together.
I mean, I do too.
I thought they were a really amazing, horrible bully duo and also very,
very
funny.
I mean, they were trying to draw Nazi symbols on the Hitler symbol on his face, which I thought wasn't good, but
yeah,
but the duo we're starting to see the duo, which is
calling
really
him potato
great.
Head. Like you could write a haiku on his head because
that
so
was
big.
Funny. That was
that
very
was
funny.
Great. I don't know if that was ad-libbed or not.
So
Finn's
yeah.
getting bullied by his own teammates, Karofsky, who is not on the hockey team but on the football team,
right? And then Rachel's going to be at the photo. It's photo day for the Glee Club. She's waiting for her co-captain, and he's not showing.
Nope.
And the photographer says he's got to go because he's got to, he's like, sorry, I got to go. Hurry up. I've got to go shoot this commercial for my brother-in-law. And she's like, boo. She hears commercial. And John Ross Bowie, who is the guest star who plays the photographer and the director of the mattress commercial, you may know him from Speechless or The Big Bang Theory.
That little show.
Just that small, tiny thing. And he also comes back. You know, he comes back in the, he ends up in the Glee Project as the photographer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought this scene was so strange.
Right?
But the two of them are so good that yes. they made it. Like, she takes that break and looks in the mirror and starts, like, singing
great.
To herself.
Yep.
Yeah, like, there's all these odd... My favorite parts of the show are when we get into, like, those odd weird, specific comedic things.
Okay.
And then she goes and sits down and starts crying.
Right.
But because she's trying to get the job. I just thought it was a really
very
well
funny.
Executed. Yeah.
Very, very funny.
Scene.
I can cry out of one eye.
So then Rachel is, you know, pissed at Finn. And Finn says, well, they said that if I took the Glee Club photo, they'd make me choose between a Hitler mustache or buck teeth. And I can't rock either of those looks.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
You know.
Yeah, whatever.
Which leads us into
the commercial.
The mattress part of this episode.
Which is the best part.
Obviously.
Well, I don't know about that, but it is one of, it's our favorite part.
Yeah.
So Rachel's in the Glee Club. She calls the meeting to session. She says that the Glee Club is a rare opportunity to become stars, that we've been cast in a local commercial. And Tina's very excited. and she says, hold on to your hats and get ready to sell some mattresses. All of these numbers, I remember shooting all these scenes. They were like so quick. We were like in one-off scenes of like, I remember just this episode moving very quickly because they had to
there
get
was a
so
lot
much.
To do.
Yeah. And he's like, you guys don't matter right now.
Yeah.
Hurry up.
Like, we don't need to do 12. We don't need to do coverage of 12 different people.
Exactly.
Like,
it's a group. So now we're rehearsing. Now we're at Mattressland, which was a mattress store warehouse in like the middle of nowhere in California.
Yeah.
And
it was hot.
It was very hot.
And if you watch this first thing where we're all lined up acting out the scene that we're supposed to do in this commercial, we're all a bit dewy.
Well, we shot this after we
were hot.
Did the musical number.
We were sweating.
But we're rehearsing this number or the commercial as it was written. And the delivery of these lines is excellent. And I remember Mark's line delivery was cracking us up.
We were fully losing it.
And Amber's, and it's just very funny. But
do you remember rehearsing for this, like,
well, they had
for
to
this number?
They put us on a sound stage, right? Like a separate sound stage because the mattresses wouldn't fit in the tin shed where we normally rehearse. And we were rehearsing really late at night, I remember.
Yeah.
It was like after we had shot something else.
Mm-hmm.
I remember rehearsing these. These were real fun, except I was like worried my neck was going to get all crazy again.
I just remember too, because it was, there's a lot of pictures online that I think we all took of each other and posted at some point of us like sitting around on these gigantic trampolines that they covered in fabric to look like mattresses.
Mm.
And we were climbing up places we probably weren't supposed to in this empty soundstage, like way
ladders
up high.
Yep.
And I just remember we were left alone on those stages a lot. I think because Zach and Brooke had to
go to set.
I think there was something, another number being shot that needed their attention.
Yes. Yes.
And
I remember laying on those mattresses for a very long time.
Yeah. And so it was like a nice little break.
Respite.
Like on these little soft pads of this mattress. And them also being like, what is this number? How are we choreographing this?
And I think it was like, I can do this. And they were like, great, do that.
Yep. Yeah, who can do
like,
flips?
I can do a flip. And we have to look, when you look at that number, like Heather is going full acrobatics.
Yeah.
Full acrobatics.
The entire time.
Like pirouetting into a full split, like a middle split. I was crazy. She was doing her best cheerleader.
So what happens is, in the scene, is that the written scene that the director wrote after we do it sort of sucks. And Rachel's like, we're a Glee Club. Let us do a number.
We should perform.
And I love how we just whipped up this little Van Halen number with all these harmonies. And also, like, how could Mattressland afford the rights to Van Halen for their commercial?
I remember Corey being very excited about this number. Very excited. And doing the scream at the beginning of that song. Also, the scream is funny because I think of is Tour, like hearing it so many times.
Can you believe
that? Because we did Mattress on Tour.
We brought trampolines covered in mattress pads on tour?
Like, I don't remember. I like vaguely remember doing mattress, but then I was like, oh, like mattress was where I had put on the pajamas and then I had 7 layers of clothes underneath because you just rip off another layer to do another number. But that was a crazy time.
People should go to find like recordings of that online. Or if you were there, can you like tweet us and tell us like, did that feel as fever dreamy as it did for us? I think it probably does. So then we do this number that was absolutely insane. Amber sings the highest notes known to man over and over and over again. I remember hearing the recording and was like, what is wrong with you? And she was just laughing hysterically.
That number is great, though. It performed really well, right? And
it was a lot of fun, too.
It was a lot of fun to do. But on the day, we were shooting and they had to turn the air off because of the sound issues, because it was like blowing, and sound is so sensitive to it that, you know, you would have heard that like whizzing. So they had to turn the air off. So we were doing all of those like crazy running, jumping, twisting, flipping in like heat. And I remember being like, can we get some waters in here? Yes. And they brought the water from outside and it was like hot.
Yep, boiling.
So we were drinking hot water from plastic water bottles and literally just dying. But it was a really fun day regardless.
But at the same time, we had really comfortable costumes. So
we did. Well, then we had white tank tops underneath, so we were able to take off our button-ups and like wear those in between takes. But it was still really, really
hot. There was also like a lot of... we didn't know if I should have been bounced on a trampoline, but I remember we did like a take of it just
you were laughing really hard.
I was, because I also like I was just trying not to move my legs. I didn't know. I was like, I don't know if this is right.
I know. But it was a different time.
But what a great number.
It was really fun. Oh, and Chris got injured. He went down. He had to go to the medic.
He did. I completely forgot
his
about
neck.
That.
He tried to do a flip and he like landed the wrong way.
He got injured a lot.
Great. He did get injured a lot. We all got injured a lot. That Chris went down on this one though, for sure.
There was also like a thing in the behind the scenes for this episode that Diana said that Diana was losing her mind. Do you remember that?
Diana would always lose her mind. Diana would like towards
these
the end
long,
of the
silly
night.
Days.
Yeah, exactly. When she got silly, she would get like cray cray. And she would make us all laugh.
The cutest.
Yes, exactly. That goes down as one of like the most fun, memorable like musical numbers, just because of the sheer size of it, of like the weird mattresses.
I feel like Ryan must have come up with that.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like that sounds like a Ryan idea.
It's really funny. It is a really funny idea. Like the kids get in a local commercial for mattresses.
Yeah, it's great. A dream come true. Jenna, I started out doing local commercials. That's what I did.
Also, people would talk about trampolines, and I'm like, "Well, this feels like it's a full circle moment for me."
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, so what commercials did you do?
I did. The first thing I ever did was for the local WB, which ended up being CW, but it was WB. And I did it for local affiliates, so I had to say like, "Oh, and you're tuned into blah blah blah."
Wow.
And then I did like a Radio Shack industrial commercial.
Oh, I love industrials.
For internal use. Yeah.
I did a lot of industrials.
I did like a Blockbuster industrial thing too.
Those aren't things anymore, I don't think.
No, I doubt it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Babygate, Jenna.
Let's talk about Babygate, because this is Jessalyn apparently called it Terry's Reckoning.
Yeah.
Where she called this episode The Reckoning, because this is the reveal.
I don't think she gets enough credit for how good she is. I think
we're
because her character
Jessalyn's biggest fans.
Is like so awful.
Well, yeah, she is the, you know, we're rooting for Emma and Will here. So, of course, Terry's going to be the one that's the evil villain that's like wronging Will left and right and kind of a bitch.
We want the adultery.
But why is she so excellent?
She's
That's
incredible.
The question.
So Will's going through the drawers looking for his tie, and for some reason is going through Terry's underwear.
No, he's looking for his pocket square, which is
pocket
why
square,
I was like,
right.
Okay, I believe this then.
Yes. Right. And then finds the little pregnancy belly.
And honestly, Terry's lie was actually pretty legit.
Excellent.
I was like, I believe that.
Yeah. That was a Kendra level lie.
Yes, she said it was for trying on clothes for when you were going to look like you were pregnant.
Also, I have to say, I was trying to think, like, if I pulled out that would pregnancy
you know?
Bump,
would you
I don't
know what
if
that
you
is?
No, because it doesn't look so obvious.
You know, the look in his eye was like, oh, this is starting to make sense. All of his suspicions were confirmed. Yes.
Right.
So he comes out and he confronts Terry. And this is a really beautifully acted, directed, shot scene, I think.
And very different for the show, I think, so far.
It's
for this
it's that very loose camera.
Handheld,
like there's not, it's just, you're kind of following them around in this like very...
you're in the action.
Intimate moment, yeah, exactly. And then Terry's like, I guess I'm just going to reveal this all. So she tells him the plan was to, he's like, what about when the baby was born? And she says, well, we were going to get Quentin's baby.
I was a little freaked out because it looked like he was going to hit her.
Oh,
didn't
really?
It? I felt like the whole time I was like, oh my God, is he going to hit her? Like, this is, he was really scary.
Mm.
I felt like.
Because
he's also
definitely
someone
scary.
Who doesn't like ever get angry. Right. And then all of a sudden you're like,
he looks like he's going to explode.
He grabs her wrists and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely like him about, like a tea kettle, like about to explode.
Oh my God, the line of this. I think this is one of up there too for my favorite lines of the episode of this marriage. It's something like this marriage only works because you don't feel good about yourself.
That is wild. Very
she throws it in there in the middle of this argument, and it's like, what a line.
Very dark. Very dark.
But you know what's good is because he's angry, he's not going to stay at home. So thank God there's a pile of mattresses waiting for him.
Well, I mean,
in the choir room.
Kind of, because that's going to really poo-poo on the whole Glee Club. So, yes, he leaves and he goes to school and he sleeps on one of the mattresses. It's like Princess and the Pea with all the mattresses lined up like that. And did you notice that you can see his marks on the floor when he drops the mattress on the floor? They left the mark in there. So our marks are where we stand, but normally if there's like a shot with your feet in it, they take it out and you kind of have to like use your best guess where they put like a tiny little dot.
Yeah.
But they left his red mark tape in that. We did, all of us had our own colors that sweet, sweet camera Ben would put down for us. And I had bright pink. What was yours, Kevin? Blue?
Mine switched. I think originally, I think it was gray because of my wheels.
And then sometimes, because there were so many characters, at some point they had to double tape. So some people would be green and blue because there was just too many of us. But I had bright pink the whole time. And when somebody would sub in for Ben and give me a different color, I'd be furious. I think I have a photo of like 15 different marks for like 15 different people that I'll try and find and so we can post it. But anyway, so then
Will then
take it
tells
away.
Emma he has a problem, and Emma says he needs to focus on his own life, but she would never do that to Terry, but gets it. Not what he was expecting.
Yeah, and it was actually a really honest, like grounded scene, and I was like, oh, like I get it. She's like, you're a big, you know, like a big one to lose or whatever the quote was. But, you know, it was a really honest scene, which I really appreciated.
Because, you know, after like she's everything she says does come from a place of like sincerity and really, really meaning to do well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's nice, like and amidst all this chaos and mattresses and arguments that. You know, she does often say the unexpected, but it's because I think it's the reasonable and real thing.
Yes.
Which is nice. So, all of these three storylines have come to a bit of a boiling point.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything starts to unravel because Sue's doing her, that's how Sue sees it.
Very
Sue's
inappropriate
corner.
Sue's corner.
Oh, it's bad. It's
really bad.
It's bad.
Her delivery is amazing. It's really bad.
Performance, incredible. Subject matter.
Exactly.
So she sees the mattress
commercial. She's like, I'm going to take them down.
And then Quinn asks Sue if she can be in the Cheerio photo, but Sue says no and then tells her that the Glee Club can't compete in sectionals because they really stepped in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened was is that that commercial they made them lose their amateur status because Sue goes on to tell Figgins and tells the Glee Club says that the Glee Club was in a commercial and accepted payment because they received the mattresses. So they don't qualify to be amateurs anymore. It's been revoked. And mm-hmm. they're no longer eligible for sectionals. And they can't return the mattresses because one of them was opened and slept on.
And this is where Sue says, there's a stack of mattresses in the choir room piled as high as the empty hair gel bottles in the dumpster outside of your apartment.
I love that she fits in several hair jokes.
Several. Yeah. Very good. and Will admits that he slept on the mattresses because he's thinking of leaving Terry. And Sue again says, well, I didn't see that one coming at all.
So good. I love too when she's talking about Will but looking at Figgins. Well, I didn't see that one coming at all.
These scenes are, I have a new appreciation for these scenes of like in Figgins' office with the three of them. It's just excellent.
It's some of the best.
And then Figgins feels bad, but also says like his hands are tied.
Per use.
And Glee Club's over. So Quinn, to our surprise, is going to go and blackmail Sue.
That's right. Quinn steps it up.
She's in her cute little cheery outfit with her cute little bump. And she's telling Sue that she knows that she gets all of this free swag for the Cheerios in the past years. And if she's like, certainly you wouldn't want Figgins finding that out, or the Cheerios would also be banned from competing. Right. So in return, Quinn demands a full page photo to be given to Glee Club for free because the Cheerios have like 16. Or six, I don't remember. And she also demands that she's back in the Cheerios.
Mm-hmm.
And Sue's like, yeah, whatever. I'll just, you're ruthless and I'm going to stuff you in the back.
You remind me of a young Sue Sylvester.
Right. And Quinn's like, maybe not. Maybe
she's like,
not.
Actually, we'll take the photo, but I don't want to be back on the Cheerios.
Exactly. So she says she'd rather be a part of a club that's proud to have her as a member.
I have to say, too, like, this is really summing up how the only person who's had a really big, significant story arc so far in these 12 episodes is Quinn.
Mm.
She's gone from president of the celibacy club, HBIC, running shit.
Yeah.
And here she is now sticking her neck out for the Glee Club, the people she hated.
Right.
And now when she gets the opportunity to be back on the Cheerios, she's like, no, actually, it's a nice redemption arc for her.
It is true. That's very true. Quinn always had some pretty good arcs. I mean, along with some pretty crazy storylines. But
yes.
And then Mr. Shu, this is one of Elodie's signature moves in the scenes where you shoot back and you see everybody. Yes. And Mr. Shu tells the Glee Club that since he's the one who slept on the mattresses, he's fired from sectionals, but they can still compete and that they deserve to compete for all their hard work. And the Glee Club's like, we can't do this without you. And Mr. Shu's like, but you just did the mattress commercial. And if you can't without me there, then I haven't done my job. And Rachel's like, thanks, Mr. Shu. Just no questions asked. And he's like, I want you guys to smile really big in this Glee photo that Sue is giving you. And I thought that was really sweet.
This photo that we took.
I have this. We have this everywhere.
Yeah,
we all
have it framed.
Yeah.
It was a big, like personally, like a really big moment because it also felt like we're at our second to last episode.
Mm.
We didn't
all of us together.
If we were coming back yet when we were shooting this.
Right.
And it felt like a really, really special moment. It was the first picture we had of us like that.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wow, we're all together. So it was a really sweet. And this whole episode, because we're in a lot of it, but there's not a lot of like storyline for us. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of like improvising in our characters.
Yes.
And you start to see like characters bloom. Like, yeah, especially like Puckerman and Finn with the weights, like in the locker room doing that was really funny. And like they thought of that. And, you know, us doing the makeup and stuff. And like you just see like the very famous like looks that you see in the choir room and these characters, mm-hmm, kind of like really us figuring out who exactly we are or
embodying
who our characters
them.
Are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was really fun and like very funny. I just chuckled a lot during this episode.
And I remember too, Smile was Michael Jackson's favorite song. And
that's right.
We recorded it the week after he died.
Right. Yeah.
And it felt, and I didn't know, like this, for some reason it came out after this was his favorite song and right. I had just learned that. And at the time I was a very big Michael Jackson fan. It was just like, it meant a lot for, you know, us to like be doing this song.
That's right.
And we ended up actually singing this at a Trevor Project event years later.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
We sang it at the White House.
White House. And,
yeah.
Well, we have a story about the White House, but we can leave that for another time. Remember that one? That was Smile. They're like, keep Smile, cut True Colors. Anyway, we'll save that for another
Smile
time.
Smile was terrible because I couldn't sing it. Anyway.
You hated it. Okay. And that is the penultimate episode of the first 13.
Yeah. And like, obviously the yearbook photo does get defaced, but like it's great and we love it. And yeah, it's almost like school's out.
School,
you know, you took your final exams, you still got to show up to school. And so next episode is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Actually, next episode is the final exam.
I actually was like tempted to keep going and watch it.
I'm really excited to watch it.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024. And we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun. And I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, should we do some tardy takes, Jenna?
Tardy takes, let's do it.
Tardy takes.
All right. Cringe moments, aka ouchies. I pick Sue's Corner.
I mean,
there's a couple things.
I'd have to do the same. I'd have to say like the Kwanzaa bit. Feels a little.
And the Hitler mustaches.
Yeah. Oh, rice patty hat.
Yeah. The yam diet, but that's also a nod to Brad Falchuk, who ate like so many sweet potatoes.
It was like an inside joke.
Yeah. Okay. Worst dance move. Smile.
Smile's weird. The first smile.
The first smile.
Yeah. Best song? Jump. Yeah. Just, I mean, and that goes along with best performance by a prop. It has to be the mattresses.
That is
and
right.
The trampolines, that number is insane. And really just turned it out.
And then things that didn't age well.
It's anytime Sue has opened her mouth in this episode.
She says, all I want is just one day a year when I'm not visually assaulted by uglies and fatties. Like,
wait,
what?
You just want the meteor to hit, you know?
You like, know, there's an asteroid that like flew really close to Earth, like the closest it's ever been to Earth. So I feel like that is appropriate.
It's fine. Just take us out at this point. Yeah. Just go for it. Oh my God. Okay. So best line. There's a lot.
I mean,
I think, like I said, I think mine's a tie between Terry saying this marriage works because you don't feel good about yourself.
Okay.
And then Sue with the tear ducts.
Oh, yes.
Saying, I got myself a bit of an eye lift. And while we're there, I told him to go ahead and yank out those tear ducts. Wasn't using them.
I also had to go back and find this one because I loved it so much. It was Sue that she says, what if I were to innocently murder you, Will? I'd still have to go to trial. I'd still probably get off for justifiable homicide when they're in Peyton's office. I was like, what? It's so funny.
So good.
So funny.
I was crying. Okay, Jenna.
Bring it.
Are you ready?
Okay.
For shit we found on TikTok. It's going to make you so happy.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Should I watch it?
Yes, watch it.
Okay.
So it is a beautiful like fan cam of Figgins.
Stop.
Figgins, all his like clips cut together where he's like speaking to the camera and waving to the camera. So the person who uploaded it, Mia Dunbaby? I don't know. How you pronounce it, said, might be the best edit I've ever made. And I agree. I don't know what else you've edited, but this is incredible.
This is insane.
We need to get Iqbal on here. We need to send this to Iqbal because Figgins is truly just an MVP.
He truly is.
You all should watch Iqbal. It's 10 seconds of pure
joy.
Unbridled joy.
This is so good.
Like, if you're ever down, just watch this. It'll make your day so much better.
And it's to Iris by the Cuckoo Dolls as well.
Yeah. It's really beautiful. It's romantic. It's everything you want it to be.
Thank you for sharing.
And that's all we got for you.
Everybody, thank you for sending it in.
Yeah, keep sending them because so many people sent us the Figgins video and it worked. We saw it. And it's absolutely incredible. So keep tagging us. We are seeing all of it. We're collecting all of it. And I like to be able to show these things to Jenna.
I love watching them and seeing them.
Thank you for joining us for Mattress.
Yeah. Tune in next week for Sectionals. I can't wait.
I'm so excited. I might have to go watch it now.
No, don't do it.
I want to.
Thanks for recapping Mattress with us. This was fun. And
thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Tell your pets. Whoever.
Thanks for sending in all those TikToks, Kevin. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you guys rock.
And that's what you really missed.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. And follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Miss Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death.
We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.